Opening scripture this morning comes from Psalm 8 on page 522. This is, Word of Faith has a lot of teaching about walking in our authority as believers, and it's a reality, it's not a fantasy. And even in Psalm 8, there's an interesting three little verses here. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? And you're talking about hearing from the Lord, even in the small things. For you have made him a little lower than the angels. And there's a little footnote that you really need to see there. And I learned this through some of those theological debates at our local pastors' meetings, that the word angels is not really the correct word. It's the translators had a problem with the fact that God made man just a little bit less than himself. And so they put angels in there to disguise that, to show their unbelief. This is really significant, because for you have made him, who, man, a little lower than God himself, because in the Hebrew text it's talking about Elohim, God himself. So the footnote is very important with that. And has crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. How many times have you read that in the book of Ephesians? Towards the end of chapter 1 and chapter 2, and that we're seated together in heavenly places with Christ, far above all principalities and powers. This isn't a pipe dream. This is very, very real. And even in the Old Covenant, God made it known that when he created everything, who did he put in charge of it in the beginning? It was Adam and Eve, wasn't it? Well, because of sin, they lost their dominion, they lost their authority. But at the cross, in the other garden, Jesus won that dominion and authority back from the devil. This psalm is speaking prophetically of that restoration, of that the restoration of man's dominion and authority in this world, which was fulfilled for those that are in Christ. Not only is it talking about Christ, but he's talking about the followers as well, because if you go back up and read, he's talking about his creation and who he put in charge over it. So a lot of times, either we don't know it, but we're not really sure if it's true, and we let the enemy run roughshod over our lives, over our businesses, over our families, over our schools, over our government, and we kick back and do nothing. Well, God's in control. No, you're supposed to be in control. Who put you in authority? Who put you in that place of dominion and authority? And if we don't start putting our foot down, if we don't start speaking this out of our mouths with authority, it's no wonder that the enemy is all around us, seeming to wage his little victorious battles. The day is coming when you and I individually are going to have to start standing up and putting our foot down and saying, you've crossed the line. Don't be like Obama and draw a red line in the sand and then pray for a wind to cover it. That ain't going to get it with God. And it ain't going to get it with your victory that you're waiting for. You have to take a stand, put your foot down, and say, this is it. God has given me dominion and authority, and his word says every place I set my foot, he's given me that land. And you have to start seeing yourself as radical, not just laid back and mellow and mamby-pamby. Because those are the kind of people that the enemy looks for to run roughshod over your life and over everything in the Christian's life. If he can deceive you, if he can lie to you, if he can con you, if he can rob you of your authority. And God, can you imagine that? God has put his glory upon you. See, the enemy will twist it. Oh no, you can't take any glory away from God. You're right, I don't have to. He already gave it to me. He gave it to you too. His glory is upon you. His anointing is upon you. His character is in you. His power, His authority is inside of you. And we are to go about and not be looking for somebody else to do it, but looking and realizing that you and I have the power given to us by God to do something about it. And when the enemy has had things under his thumb for a really long time, he's very reluctant to start breaking free from you. But when he knows that you know that he knows you now, then he has to go. That's a Bible study thing on Wednesday night. You see, when he knows that you know that he knows you now, then he has to go. But if you only get partway through that, he just comes and goes. But when you get to that place where it's really rooted in reality in your heart and not just funny little things that we say as Christians, you'll find that he'll go bug somebody else. It isn't something that you hear locally very much. And that's, but that's okay, because if we as a congregation are what one might call a remnant, because generally we're not huge numbers, but the reality of this word getting down on the inside of you, the incredible spiritual influence that you have everywhere you go, the power and the authority to really make a difference, to change the atmosphere even of where you work. I mean, you guys, you and Barb are testifying to that. You see, when you use what God gave you to use as a tool, and you got to remember, He doesn't make any junk. God didn't make any junk, and He's not going to give you something the batteries are going to go weak. I never saw Jesus have a power failure, and you know, I don't expect that any of you will either. There's something about when Jesus talked about, if you continue in my word, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, we won't be able to change a lot of things until the word of God gets very real down on the inside of us, so that we come to realize it's just as powerful when we speak it as it was when God spoke it, because it's the same word. And He also said, heaven and earth will pass away, but His word will abide forever. That's the power of what's down on the inside of us. If we just read it and it just stays up here, doesn't really do all that much. But when it gets down in the heart, and even the scripture Barb was talking about speaking from the heart is different than speaking from the mind. It's very important, because look how many times maybe a few of you change your mind more than once during the day. I'll just leave it at that. But you see, what's in the heart doesn't change. The mind can be influenced by thoughts that may change your way of thinking about something, but that's also can work for you and not against you. When we renew our minds with the word, it changes the way we think, and when our thinking is changed, it changes the direction that we walk. This dominion and authority has been a controversy in this area for so many years, it's taking a really long time to uproot it. And a conversation just recently concerning this has to do with our presidential elections. And I found out why 20 million Christians didn't vote in the last presidential election. God's in control. He'll just put over in there whoever He wants. Who pulls the lever in the voting booth? You think God? I like this guy. Ka-ching! You're in, buddy. No, He works through you. If you bitch and complain because you don't like the president, maybe you should go vote. If you don't like the way the schools are, get involved with the school board. Use your authority. Why do you think we're here? We're called to be light. God has a president for us. But guess who He's looking for to participate in the system that He designed? God has a whole world of lost souls, but guess who he's expecting to go reach them? You see, you have to get out of that mindset where just because God is sovereign, he can do anything that he wants, but because of who he is, he doesn't. He works through you and I. He works through the body of Christ. If you get this picture of Jesus being one man, even Jesus himself said, it's the Father in me, he does the work. So you have to make that connection. God is in control through Christ. Now it's through the body of Christ, and that's where it is. If we're not using dominion and authority to run the enemy out of the camp, if you will, then it's not going to get done. It's really quite simple. And there's a scripture that comes to me in Romans. I don't know why we're going there. We're just going to roam over there. This is just something that maybe you read over, but this is pertinent to our conversation. Oh, yes. Romans 8. Famous Romans 8. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature or creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. This whole dying, decrepit society around us is waiting for the church to identify itself. It's like we're undercover agents. And they're waiting for us to take off the wraps. Waiting. The whole creation is waiting for the church to manifest itself or to manifest the power of Christ. And so many places I go, you start talking about the Holy Spirit. Oh boy, do they get squeamish and run for cover. As long as they can identify it as an it way back there in the corner, he's cool. But when you start talking about the Holy Spirit as a true and living being, God himself in spirit form among us, that freaks people out. And Bernie's going to feel the burn. He needs to get saved. Well, it's been a long time since we came back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're not quite finished. Can't say with any certainty we will be today either, but we'll give it another go. We're in verse 7, the last time that we had come to this portion of Scripture at near the very end of our long teaching on fail-proof living, and it seemed that the Holy Spirit had selected the order of the way Peter put these all together, and it comes down to the agape love, or the unconditional love of the Father, was the final supreme seal, if you will, on adding to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and so on to the end. And we came down now, we've been studying 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7. There are four more characteristics of God's love. And please keep in mind that Romans 5:5 tells us that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts as well. So the ability to love as God loves is already on the inside of us. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endures all things. And the last time we came together on this subject, we talked about the fact that love bears all things. But it's been, I think, 3 weeks at least, so I just want to quickly review that last one. Love bears all things to protect by covering. Agape love will never broadcast or publish the faults of another. And this is so, so important. It's one thing to If you know a person that you can go to privately and ask for prayer with that person. But to just go around in general and tell everybody how bad your wife is, or tell everybody how bad your husband is, or tell everybody how bad your kids are, what you're doing is you're probably throwing in the trash about 1,000 verses of scripture that God would say something entirely different about your wife, or about your husband, or about your children, or about all of your offspring and all of the generations yet to come. So we have to be really mindful of that. Love bears, it protects, it keeps covered those things. They're not for public broadcast. It will not lie or deceive others. It simply means that it just will not talk publicly about their faults. That's a hard walk to walk sometimes, because everybody wants to know what's going on. A lot of times, because we're very real and open and honest with one another in our congregation, there are a lot of times when you might not see somebody here for a couple of weeks or maybe 3 weeks, and the tendency is to call me and ask me what's going on with so-and-so. They've not been here, I've noticed. And I says, yep, that's right. Keep them in prayer. And I'm not going to give you any details. And there's a reason for that. I'd rather have a few people praying for somebody than a lot of people talking about them. That's all. I'll leave it at that. And I gave you an example. A wife or a husband covering or protecting their mate or their children from public knowledge of a drinking or drug problem, marital problems, to avoid bringing shame or reproach to them. Oftentimes the Holy Spirit is working in a person's life. And if we're not really mindful of continuously keeping that person covered in love in a safe place, that really can interfere with what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in the person's life, because once it's out there publicly, the person has an opportunity to set up roadblocks and just block everything out and cop an attitude that puts them in a position of not receiving perhaps the ministry of the Spirit in their lives, who will definitely work for their benefit. So we want to try and, with love, this kind of love will do that. It's a very powerful love. It doesn't take sides. It just covers. This love will pass by and put up with personal injuries without indulging anger or seek revenge. It will hold firm even though it may be shocked and pressed hard upon. It will bear up under great pressures such as curses, slanders, prison, exile, bonds, torments, and death itself if necessary for the sake of others. You've heard me say often, I will go to my grave and never share any of the things that you've told me in confidence. I'll die first before I'll tell anybody what you told me. And that's an absolute fact. I just won't go there. And you can pry and pry and pry, and it's never going to work. And we have to come to this point of maturity in our faith where if we're no different than anybody else, then why would anybody want what we have? Because outwardly they seem to already have it. This kind of love makes the difference. The next section, love believes all things. Now, on the surface, that sounds like your favorite fishing story. I really caught a big fish. And it's not really particularly talking in that context. It doesn't mean that just any and every word, but uses godly wisdom to discern and to give every benefit of doubt to the other person's credibility. I used the word bitchin' today. I mean, it just slipped out and I said... But if you put it in all its context, it's a shorter word than complaining. You got it. That's right. And so, but you see, but because we're so open and free here, that's grace, that's mercy, that's compassion, that's love. Love covers, because when we learn and grow to look at the overall context with which a person is speaking, and you get really what's the Spirit saying through that person, those things don't matter. But if I said it at a ladies' tea club meeting, that probably would be very serious. That probably wouldn't, I'd be like Donald Trump in a china closet, you know? But it includes keeping in mind a good opinion of a person, or of them when there is no appearance to the contrary. And that's where this little word of suspicion comes in. If there's no appearance to the contrary in a person's character, then there's no reason to withhold this love from anyone. In fact, God never withheld his love from anyone. Can it be taken advantage of? Oh yeah, been there, done that. Can it be misunderstood? Yep, been there, done that. Do you feel like somebody's doormat? Yep, been there, done that. You all know that, right? I mean, that's happened to every one of us, hasn't it? But you see, the reason that God gave us this love is so that we would never make the mistake of taking it personal. Because once we take an offense personal, once we even take an offense, and once we take it personal, then our attitude changes about the person. And then suspicion sets in. Stories start spreading. But this love will keep that in its right place. That love is to keep us in a right place so that we don't fall into those traps of the enemy, because once we get past the love part and we start being led by feelings and emotions, that's a very dangerous road to go down, because those will take us in a place that can be very damaging. So remember the love that's on the inside of us. That's very powerful. Love is apt to make the best of everything. It will judge well and believe well as far as it can reason, and will even stretch its faith beyond appearances for the support of a kind opinion. I'm going to say this in a right way. I guess because so many times doing what I do, a lot of people come to me and they try to sow a seed of undermining another person or their motives or their lives. And I have a choice to make. Well, I know that person that they're talking about. So I can do one of two things. I can take this, I didn't know that. You know, and be in shock about it. Or I can say nothing. That's usually the best way to go with that. Because if a person knows that they can sow a seed of doubt in you for the purpose of undermining the person they're talking about, that starts a breakdown in relationships. And it becomes very hurtful. And God's love was never designed to hurt anyone, but to cover them and to keep them and to protect them. Sometimes this happens by phone. And usually, it's second-hand information. And usually that's how something comes to us. So-and-so said, really, I didn't hear that. So I'm not changing my opinion of them. I'm not changing my attitude about them. I'm not going to get into suspicion. I'm not going to get into fear. I'm not going to get into worry. Why? There's no reason to. By whose authority is that person speaking to me about another person? What is their motive? What is their attitude? Why are they calling me to complain about somebody else? If they got a problem with them, why don't they go themselves? Because maybe what they're spreading around isn't necessarily true. Maybe they got an axe to grind. And if they can sow a seed in your heart, then you got to deal with it. You can either protect, because you may not know something personally. You have no reason to get moved off the course that we're called to walk. And I really believe that's why the Holy Spirit had Peter list this last, because it is one of the most difficult things to do. It really is. And with consistency. It's always easy to do with people that we get along with, for sure. That's the easy road. But it isn't always easy for people who rub our fur the wrong way. I'm going to bless them with a brick. In love. And I'll say, if you're going to whack them, put a glove on. You know? Don't bruise the skin. What's that?
Or wrap a brick in a towel.
There you go. Yes, wrap a brick in a towel. Now see, there's freedom in that.
Yes.
In the things that we discuss here, because there's a lot of love here. And we're all here because most of us probably wouldn't fit anywhere else. I don't know. I'm sure I wouldn't. I can't speak for you. But what I know about you, most of you wouldn't either. We'll just leave it at that. And the other thing about this love is, too, is when you hear a bad report, and we've all heard plenty of them, we don't really know what's in the heart of the person that sometimes I call them the Eeyore Christian, and you know, Eeyore and Tigger are quite opposite in their expressions of their faith. But sometimes a bad report might be because that's all the person sees right then. Maybe they're so deep in a situation that maybe they're in a valley and all they see are shadows. They just see the shadows of the mountains closing out the light or any sign of hope in their life. And unless we're walking in their shoes, it's very, very difficult to see the real truth about what's going on. And that's why it's not wise to listen to somebody else's version of another person's story, because if we don't really know for ourselves, oftentimes we miss an opportunity to bring that person back from the brink of suicide. There was a couple testimonies about that when a person was that close. And Peggy, yours as well. If we don't remember the power of this love, that may be the way the person is today, but that's subject to change. And that's what love does. It has hope. And I'm not just thinking, well, I hope they'll be better tomorrow. No, hope is an expected anticipation of something that's there. It's just, we just haven't grasped it yet. But we know it's there. We know it's possible. An expected end to the situation. And so love hopes all things. That's the next section. When love is confronted with undeniable evidence of wrongdoing, it will still hope well and continue to hope as long as there is ground for it. As long as the person is alive, love will still find a reason to hope for the best. Because even if you're confronted with something that you know is absolutely true, this love will have a hope that is so real that you see the person already restored, coming back from depression, coming back from a pet. Maybe they got mad at God and they're in a temporary hissy and just kind of walked away for a while. Don't be getting religious and say, boy, they just blew their salvation. Well, I would rightly say that only God knows what's going on in that person's heart. He might know that on December 13th, 2019, that person is going to turn their life around and come back to the Father. See, we don't know that. We see the person in the now moment. But this love will always hold fast to the hope that those things will happen, even in spite of, well, that person's been that way 50 years. Why should I change my mind about it? Well, because they're still breathing. The Holy Spirit's still here. Jesus hasn't come back yet. And we don't know all the people that God may send to that person to help, to have one word of encouragement to build them up from the brink of disaster. That's why this is so important. This is the one, I think, that is so important in relationships, unless you're a monk in a cave, and even then you might treat the bats differently if you had the love of God in your heart. You wouldn't swat them with a broom or throw rocks at them. You'd thank them they ate all the mosquitoes instead of the skeeters eating you. See, it's all in how. It's all in how we learn to love as Jesus loved. And you know what was really cool? If you study, just study the four Gospels from the perspective of how Jesus spoke to the everyday person. There were people that he took aside. How about the man that was blind? And Jesus came and he spat on the ground and then picked up the dirt made with the spit and rubbed it in the man's eyes. How would you feel if that were you out in public and, oh, let me put that in your eyes and you'll see. I get into these stories. But you know what he did? He took him aside. Why? Because he knew everybody would mock at him and ridicule him and laugh at him and tell, hey, do you see what he made that mud out of? Because that's what people do. They look at the worst thing possible and then spout out the worst scenario and the damage is done. But you see, love covers, love protects. And even Jesus demonstrated that. There's so many places where it said he looked upon the multitudes with compassion. He didn't look upon them in a way that degraded them. It's so wonderful how the Lord looks at us. He looks at us to lift us up, not to squash us down. When Tom was talking about the old sinner saved by grace and he was all bowed over. See, I was already thinking about the scripture today and how relevant. That's what he did was a demonstration of the average way that a person who's not renewed in the mind yet to the word would react. Because they see no worth in themselves, they see no value in themselves, they think that they're not important, that their life doesn't matter, and they just go through life carrying that burden. That's all they are. And if it weren't for God's grace, well, see, they forget, but God. They just said they were saved by grace. Well, then that means they don't need to act like they used to act anymore. But you see, you have to love that person through that process. Give them growing room. Gosh, when I think of the fact that the Bible says that he who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ, that tells me there's a lot of work to be done inside of us by the Holy Spirit. And we have to allow the Spirit of God to do that work. If we go like this, and we contaminate the person's thinking of their ability to receive what God is doing, it's going to make it very difficult But love will let the process work. Love will let the Holy Spirit work, and it'll work every time. We'll have to learn to be patient. Remember back in that study, we had to learn to be patient, endure, endurance. Be in it for the long haul. Don't look for a quick fix. So many times in ministry, I just want to be able to like take a person and unscrew the head and pour it all in, put your head back on. Ta-da, you're ready. Don't you wish it would be that easy sometimes? Yeah, isn't that be awesome? But it isn't. And love has such an enduring quality about it that once you know of a situation, you quietly pray, take the person before the Lord in prayer, and you don't have to tell anybody else about it. And guess who you just told? Do you not think he can make a difference? What good can your friends do when you go around and just, you know, most of them will talk. I know that. That's not a rumor. They will. But when you take a person before the Lord and you leave them there, that's where it has to stay. And love will wait for the final product, no matter how long it takes. If you're willing to wait and you have that attitude in your heart, it probably won't take long, because it's all about the heart. So, that's where I'm going to stop today. Love hopes all things. There's hope in every situation. So even though today might be the way something is today, that doesn't mean that by 12:30 or sooner, that could all be changed. So, like I also say, keep your hopers filled. Because everybody has a hoper. Some of you had hope chests before you got married, and you stashed everything in there you hoped you'd need when you got married. Or maybe you hoped you wouldn't need it, but you'd keep it for a good yard sale. But keep your hoper filled. As long as you're alive, as long as you're walking in love, and as long as you are where you are, there's always hope for change. And don't get hard-hearted about it. And that's the hardest part, is to not get a hard heart sometimes. Because when we're attacked and we're abused or taken advantage of, hearts can get hardened. We have to really guard that. But when we know the love and the power of it that God has put down inside of us, that prevents that from happening. Because love will not harden itself. Anybody need prayer this morning? Oh, it's afternoon now. Anybody need prayer this afternoon?